The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now it's time to look back at some of the events in history on this day. For instance, in 1836, the Arc de Triomphe in Paris was inaugurated. In 1848, Irish nationalists attempted an uprising against British rule at Farranrory in South Tipperary. There were several hours of gunfighting, but rebels were forced to flee after a large group of British police reinforcements arrived. In 1899, the first Hague Convention was signed. And on this day in 1921, Adolf Hitler became the leader of the National Socialist German Workers' Party. In this day in 1948, the Olympic Games returned after a 12-year hiatus.
Here they are, some of the immense crowds on their way to Wembley Stadium to enjoy the pageantry, the music and the ceremony on the day of the opening of the Olympic Games. Mercifully, the English summer had arrived a couple of days earlier, and the weather was blazing hot for the start of the 14th modern Olympiad. This was the second time that London had welcomed athletes and their supporters for such an outstanding event in the world of sport. And the scene at Wembley was one that will long be remembered by all who were present. After tremendous cheering had greeted the arrival of the King, His Majesty went down to the arena, accompanied by Mr. Ed Strom, President of the International Olympic Committee, and Lord Burley, Chairman of the Organising Committee. Members of both committees were presented. Then the march of the competing teams. According to modern custom, they were led by Greece, the country where Olympic Games originated some 800 years BC. Apart from Greece and Great Britain, who as hosts came last, the teams marched in alphabetical order. There was a great welcome for Czechoslovakia. After all, true sport knows no political frontiers. But of course, every contingent, large or small, from Europe or distant climes, received a real ovation from the spectators, among whom were members of the royal family, royal guests from abroad, and many world-famous people. The choir and the mass bands of the Brigade of Guards were conducted by Sir Malcolm Sargent.
In 1973, Greece voted to abolish their monarchy in favour of a republic. The announcement was made over Greek radio by the 54-year-old Premier George Papadopoulos, a former intelligence officer. In Rome, the Greek king Constantine remained in seclusion, but a spokesman declared, "The king didn't expect what has happened, and he's very sorry about it." On this day in 1981, the People's Princess was in the spotlight. Prince Charles married Lady Diana Spencer at St. Paul's Cathedral in London. It was watched by millions of people worldwide.
The wedding of Prince Charles and Diana Spencer took place on this day in 1981. A 20-year-old Diana said, "I do," to her prince, the future King of England. The public awaited the royal bride's arrival with much speculation about how her gown would look. It didn't disappoint. They were married at St. Paul's Cathedral in front of 2,600 guests and the rest of the world. The excitement grew from the moment they became engaged. Charles presented Diana with a diamond and sapphire ring, the same one the Duchess of Cambridge wears today. The wedding was watched by 1 billion TV viewers, and the public interest didn't end there. They honeymooned abroad and returned to Balmoral to much media attention.
How are you enjoying married life?
Highly recommend.
They began royal married life together, taking on many duties from the get-go. And less than a year after their wedding day, Prince William was born on June the 21st. Followed a few years later by Prince Harry. For many years, they were a family of four living in the royal spotlight. But it wasn't long before the fairy tale came to an end, and after 11 years of marriage, the couple announced they would be separating. Their divorce was finalised in 1996.
On the 29th of July 2005, a critical moment in the history of modern Ireland, the IRA formally announced an end to their armed campaign.
All IRA units have been ordered to dump arms. All volunteers have been instructed to assist the development of purely political and democratic programmes through exclusively peaceful means. Volunteers must not engage in any other activities whatsoever. The IRA leadership has also authorised our representative to engage with the IICD to complete the process to verifiably put its arms beyond use in a way which will further enhance public confidence, and to conclude this as quickly as possible. We have invited two independent witnesses from the Protestant Catholic churches to testify to this.
Towards the end of the two-page statement, the IRA says the defence of nationalist and republican communities has been raised with them, and they add there is a responsibility on society to ensure there is no reoccurrence of the pogroms of 1969 and the early 70s.
There's a time to resist, to stand up, and to confront the enemy by arms if necessary. In other words, unfortunately, there's a time for war. There's also a time to engage, to reach out, to put war behind us all. This is that time. This is a time for peace.
In 2008, The Dark Knight, directed by Christopher Nolan and starring Christian Bale and Heath Ledger, became the fastest film to reach $400 million in the United States. On this day in 2011, singer Amy Winehouse's funeral took place in London following her death on July the 23rd.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.